The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you for the next 30 minutes of frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction, and happy to have a gambler in recovery like myself from North Jersey today. Olga joins us this morning. Olga, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Great. When was your last wager, if you don't mind me asking?
May 18, 2008.
Wow. So it's been a good 15 plus years since you last wagered. What was your game of choice? What did you like to wager on?
Everything, but my primary choice was casinos. I love blackjack. I love roulette. But mainly it was blackjack.
Got it. Yeah, you and I are in lockstep on that. Let's tell your story here a little bit. As you look back on your life, do you remember when you were first exposed to gambling?
Oh, my God. I was the earliest time, I believe, in my life when I was gambling. I couldn't consider it gambling before I started my step work. But as now, as I remember, but when I'm looking back, that was my first experience of feeling great during gambling. I was playing cards with my grandma and grandfather in the evenings. Okay. So that was back in Russia. We've been like in a small village, so there was not much to do, and that was my first experience of being connected, feeling safe, because of I am from a dysfunctional family.
Right.
So I remember those times when I feel when the cards, playing games, card games, were, like, it became associated in my mind with safety and pleasure.
Is card playing and gambling a big part of the Russian culture or not?
Yeah, it's a big part of the Russian culture, especially in my generation. And I remember, again, like my teenagehood happened to be on a time of perestroika when the Soviet Union fell apart. So I was located in a city surrounded by the state prisons.
Right.
So the jail culture. So, and we were exposed. We were exposed to the idea that gambling is cool.
Right.
It's something that makes you look good. You should be successful.
It makes sense to me. Like, there was an image associated with it. And not only did you feel good about doing it, but you probably felt like you were one of the cool girls amongst your friends because, like, you knew how to play cards and you knew how to gamble, right?
Yeah, and that was something that appealed to me. I wanted to be cool. As a person, my father had an addiction issue. He was a wonderful man, very intelligent man. He was a chief engineer in a factory in our city. He had an addiction. He had an alcohol issue. My mom was a daughter of an alcoholic as well. There was a lot of ups and downs in my family, in my childhood. I so got used to, and then being in recovery, I realized, I got used to those ups and downs, that uncertainty.
Because your parents both were addicts and both drank too much, you grew up in an environment where your life was topsy-turvy, where one day everything's great and an hour later everything's terrible. So that was your norm. So now that you can look back on your life with the clarity you have, do you think you were gambling to escape your reality and what you probably had to witness and deal with as a kid, or no?
Yes, at this certain point. So first I developed, I was trying to escape any other way. I was a compulsive reader. I read everything that I could when I was a child. I was overeater. I had eating disorder. Then I became familiar with an alcohol at the age of 12. So, and that was my escape until at the age of 18, that was my first visit of casino.
Prior to gambling, you had your own issues with alcohol as a child.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was my way to feel normal.
Right.
To feel better about myself.
Were there casinos nearby your village in Russia that you could start going to at 18?
I don't know. I ran away after I graduated my medical school with an associate degree in nursing. I ran away to Moscow, and I was young. I was there, but I met a guy who had a lot of money. So, right. And my first visit, my first introduction to gambling was, it was a luxury restaurant. Everything was like me, girl, coming from the village, like being in a luxury restaurant. We had a bottle of a great champagne, you know, and all stuff. Right. And then at that time, that was the center of Moscow. And at that time, we had casinos almost in each corner.
So you're a young, impressionable girl. All of a sudden, a guy starts flashing some money. And now you're experiencing a better life and fancy things and expensive champagne. And it's hard to say no to that, right?
Yeah. And I won. I was explained. And that my first game I ever was blackjack. So I explained that, okay, it's 21. Just go ahead. And I won. I won enough of money. You know, I even don't remember what I spent it for on, but I just, that feeling that connected, I was safe. Everything was great. I was loved. I was accepted. Everyone was nice to me. That was about feeling good and feeling good about myself. I was on the top of the world.
How quickly did it become a problem for you?
At that point, I didn't know about anything about stages of winning. And I believe that I had like a period like about 1 year of stage of winning. So that means that I was able to leave the casino with money. But at that point, I couldn't relate it to that fact that it wasn't like me being so successful in gambling. It was me being able to leave the casino.
Right. For the people that don't understand that, that's a very big difference. You know, winning at a table, no matter how much the money is, does not mean you walked out with money in your pocket. It just means you won at that particular table. But for a lot of us, there were a lot of other tables that came after that, and you walk out sometimes, you know, with absolutely nothing. Give me an idea, when you were playing blackjack at the height of the addiction, how often did you play, and how long would you play over the course of a day?
At the very beginning, it was fun. You know, so I was there like probably once. And actually, I was like following my boyfriend at that time. So, and at that time, a lot of business meetings were held in the casinos.
Right.
I was around, but again, like I was able to be in a casino, but again, like I wasn't that much involved in, like, sometimes I was like only in a entertainment area. So I wouldn't even play. But then little by little, I started to get engaged more because of, again, that was winning. Period. So when I was leaving casino, I had some extra money. And one time, I still remember one of my friends, when I shared this with her, and actually she was observing me having money. She said, "Olga, if I were you, I would never work in my life. I would play casino." And in my mind, and I thought to myself, okay, let me become a professional gambler.
I said the same thing to my wife one time. I was doing the morning show at WFAN with Boomer. We were number one, great success. And I went home one day after a big win. And I said, I think I'm going to quit and just dedicate the rest of my life to playing blackjack. Because I was so out of control, ego-wise. Most gamblers, not all, most have that kind of depressing come-to-Jesus moment where everything goes south. And you're forced into recovery. And I'm wondering for you, and without, just kind of passing over your entire story, was there a moment for you where you lost everything, you couldn't pay it back, you owed people money, and things got really bad before you went into recovery?
Yeah, there were like many moments. And I'm a fighter. I was fighting for my addiction, not with my addiction, but for the ability to have one more casino game.
Right.
Until, you know, the last for the boyfriend, he liked the casino, but he wasn't addicted. For me, it turned into an addiction when I lost that control, when I lost that ability to leave casino, you know, with the money.
You just wanted to be surrounded by the sound, the smell, the cards,
yeah,
and the action, even if you had run out of money. Let me take a quick break talking to Olga. This is Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Happy to have Olga with us. Olga was sharing a story when she was raised in Russia, lives in Jersey now, and her experience as a compulsive gambler. Why did you decide to stop gambling and decide to get help, you know, 16 years ago? What happened?
I had experience of my active gambling addiction. I had experienced homelessness. I had experienced attempts of suicide. I met my husband being drunk in a casino, and he won. So this way, you know, everything was quick. So, and at that point, I was in my bottom. So I've been doing everything to get money just to proceed gambling.
Even attempting to commit suicide was not your bottom?
No, because of, I say to you, I'm a fighter. I have, like, many people say that addicts have no willpower. I don't believe in that because of any addict. And now I'm working with in addiction treatment field. So it's my profession. I don't believe in this statement that we don't have willpower. Any addict has a greatest willpower. Because of we fight for our addiction to the end. Like,
yes,
I know
I agree
people who died from addiction, but we fight for that. Like the addiction who takes over. I remember me, like I was doing everything. It's like gambling took my soul completely. So that's why in recovery, I needed something greater, something better to redirect my will. My willpower.
Was it a higher power?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, because of, you asked me how did I got to the point of recovery. I met my husband in a casino. He was drunk. I was drunk. So I needed money. So he had money. So it happened that I stood with him and he decided to marry me. So I was in the bottom. He was at least some sort of successful. But he had a gambling issue. So I married him. In hope that at that point I was kind of tired so of gambling, and I developed mental health issues. It got severe, and also I developed some additional addictions. I was tired at that point, and I hoped, okay, maybe after we got married, we will become a normal family. You know, when two addicts get married, that's not normal.
Sure.
So the things get even down the hill. But the only thing, I wasn't homeless anymore. At that point, I wasn't functioning because I was trying. In the period when I wasn't gambling, I wasn't able to function. I wasn't able to work normally. I was constantly coming back to my college. I couldn't graduate because of my addiction. And I've been studying psychology all the time. So first in a good college, then in somewhere just to be in a college. I was trying to, I just started to feel that my life doesn't make sense. I attempted my last attempt of suicide, and I was hospitalized, and I spent like 3 days in some sort of psych department.
Did you put together some type of plan to not wake up the next morning, or was it kind of an impetuous thing?
At the end, I've been constantly thinking of suicide because my life didn't make sense. The more I gambled, and I had a dream, you know, like about that big win that can help, that can fix my problems, that can substitute me having education, good job, good look, good family, because if I've been wasting all my time, if not gambling, so in those plans how to get money for gambling, or how in those dreams, all my mind was preoccupied. It was like a living hell. All my mind, it was like different type. Oh my gosh, I had so many my own ways to gamble, like scans, right. Plans, how to do it, how to make it better next time. And I couldn't, there was no space for anything else. I lost all my contacts. And the only, I guess, my ex-husband, it was like a gift for me at that time, because of normal people couldn't deal with me, and I couldn't deal with like normal people.
Right.
There was like such a disconnect. That was a real living hell.
Do you miss gambling at all?
Not at all. You know what? With the same passion, I've been through like homelessness, suicidal attempts. Then I got some legal problems because of right before me coming back to recovery. I finally was able to stop, you know, for almost 9 months. I didn't gamble at all. And I didn't, and also I have problems with alcohol and substances.
Right.
So I realized that I don't need to do at all because of one triggers another one.
Right.
So, and I was doing it myself, utilizing my willpower again at the end. And I was like, I'm also a workaholic. So I was successful in my career. I went back to college. So I developed, again, like I built up all the facade around me.
Right.
So, and then I got that idea. I lied to my, right now, ex-husband. I lied to my husband about how much they pay me at my work. So, and I say to myself, my idea was like, okay, let me, because I wanted to, again, look good, look better
right.
than I was. So in my mind, okay, let me just go to the casino once in a month, get that difference.
So you told your husband you were making more money than you were really making, and the idea was I'm gonna get to that number by winning at a blackjack table. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, because of it wasn't that huge number.
Right.
It ended up me getting into severe gambling binge for 3 months.
Right.
I wasn't able to stop, and that was like real nightmare. And I took money from my job. So, and I remember the last 3 days. At the first day, when I collected everything, that was my last hit, and I was saying, okay, I was chasing the losses. Let me just get back what I lost through these 3 months, and then that's it. I won. I got everything to cover. I went to exchange the tips to money, and I couldn't. I just realized that I exchanged it, but I had left like a couple of tips, and I couldn't leave. So I ended up, you know, just exchanging my money back. I lost. Second day, I did the same. Then I realized, I remember me staying by the entrance with the money. I got money. I was able, like, okay, Olga, leave. But I couldn't. I was
couldn't
staying
leave.
There, crying. And I just went, like, returned to the table.
You couldn't walk away.
And that was, like, very painful insight for me. I realized that that's it. That's the bottom.
No,
and
we all have that same kind of experience where you know you got to walk away, but, you know, the addiction's too powerful. You can't walk away. What have you found to replace all that mental space you have available that you're not gambling? All the time you spent, all the worry, all the emotional investment you made. How did you replace that? What do you do?
First of all, program recovery is my, like, it's my priority. It's my life. It's a way of, like, it's not like doing steps or attending meetings. It's a way of life. I don't know, maybe at that point I was ready. And actually, after that experience, like last 3 nights in the casino, I went to church because of through all my life, I thought, like studying psychology, I saw just two ways out of my addiction problem, like mental health problems. It's either suicide or giving up myself to a church. Suicide didn't work.
Well, I think you made the right decision for sure. As you sit here today now, you know, 16 years in recovery, how much better is life for you as a person now that you're not gambling?
It's different. It's absolutely different. So I came from the bottom. Now, you know, like I have two master's degrees. I was able to graduate in recovery. I also graduated the college here. I have a wonderful job. I have my private practice. I'm surrounded with the people who's in recovery. I'm never alone. Whatever problem I have right now, it's not a problem. It's a challenge that I can overcome. And I stop seeing challenges as something that hurts me because of my connection with the higher power. And again, I'm not religious.
You're spiritual.
Yeah, I just feel that deep connection with God in my own understanding. And that is the answer. The night after my first meeting, my first GA meeting, and that was like a very strange experience because I was late for that meeting. And when I came, there was like a small room with about 20 people and one man who reminded me a little bit more of my father. He was talking about God, and I came from an atheistic, right now Russia is a little bit changed, but I was raised in an atheistic country, and there was like no, it wasn't something common, like talking about God, and he was talking about God, that you can believe in higher power the way you want. It's like no one can dictate you how to believe, and the other people started to talk about that, and now looking back, I realized maybe like the topic was the second or the third step. But for me, it became like different. I started to trust those people because of all of them been talking about, you know, higher power. Yeah. And then when I came back home, actually I prayed and I asked God I was like through many years, first time I was able to look at myself in my eyes in the mirror. And I prayed and I asked God to change me whether I want or not. That's interesting because I've seen that moment, you know, there was a lot of changes.
Number one, proud of you. Congratulations on recovery. I'm glad you found a higher power and you've replaced all the gambling with, you know, your thoughts about that higher power. And I really appreciate you coming on. And I'm glad that you share your story and help others. And I hope to meet you one day and give you a big fat hug. And I'm so glad that you are still here with us. And that you've dedicated your life to recovery. And I can't thank you enough for joining us. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Olga. Bye-bye. Wow. Obviously, as I say many times on this show, mental health is a serious issue. It is okay not to be okay. If you are having any type of suicidal thoughts or feel like the walls are caving in, please pick up the phone, call somebody, download the HeyY app, which is HEYY. There are people standing by 24/7 willing to talk to you and help you out. And that one phone call, that one app can literally be the difference between waking up tomorrow and not. And we will continue to do this show and bring you the real passionate, raw stories of gambling addicts like myself, like Dan, and like Olga. And we appreciate you letting us do this show. We will see you again next weekend. Joe Beningo's coming up next. Right here. Thank you for listening to Hello, My Name is Craig on WFAN.